Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you so much for being here. My name is Queen and I am a international motivational speaker and a success coach. And sorry that I took about 2 minutes to log on. I was sitting here delightfully, but there's always a technical problem to get onto the show. Not necessarily to do with the radio show, but just to do with whether I'm connecting through Skype or whether I'm connecting through here. And so it just sometimes takes ages. But anyway, I'm so delighted that you are here, and I'm going to be talking to you today about how I attracted over 120 contestants to compete in my pageant. So, well, basically, if you don't know who I am, my name is Queen, like I said. Some people know me as Choma, or the Nigerian way to say it would be Chioma. Chioma, that's how they would say it. They kind of like sing it. So yeah, what I'm here to do today, like I said, is to talk to you about success in terms of how you can actually attract your ideal clients. Because I think, yeah, it's really nice that, you know, I attracted over 120 contestants to compete in my pageant, but it's not necessarily all about me. It's about how you can apply some of my strategies and my ideas to go out there and do the same thing. So I hope you're going to find the wisdom, ideas, tips, tricks, the knowledge I share with you to be very vital, important, and uplifting, and also encouraging. So if you don't have a pen and paper, please, I do recommend that you have one, because I'm only going to be here for 30 minutes, and it's going to be great for you to take some notes on what I'm saying so that you can see results, 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 and some more successes in your life. This is all about you being able to attract clients for, you know, let's say, for example, just knowing who your ideal client is. You will learn how to attract your dream client or dream clients rather than attracting nightmare clients. Or as one of the things I think it's really important to get good at as well is just really being able to spot a nightmare client from the word get-go. Sometimes you work with them for so long out of desperation or because of the fact that you think, oh my gosh, I just need to have a client right now. And then you end up just not really assessing whether that person would be right for you. So sometimes I'm really good at, not even sometimes, but a lot of the time I'm very, very good at spotting who would not be right for my pageant, not just allowing everybody to come in because they want to be in the pageant. It doesn't work like that. I have to do, you know, really go through the analysis and check the application. And we have like a double application process. So they apply on our website, for example, or they could apply through email or through StarNow or something like that. And then we send them a full application form that they've got to fill in. So let's say they applied on our website, there's another application to complete. And then, so to us, really and truly, we're finding out who's serious enough to get the application form done. Because if you think about most careers as well, you're not going to really get through to the application process if you don't do the long application form. So that's how we see it. We see it as the ones that really sit down to do it, they get through it. They're the ones that are going to show that commitment in the competition. The ones that can't be bothered, they're probably not ready for the pageant, or they're not the right kind of girls that we want, because we want people that follow through. So you may want to have some kind of procedure in your business that would help you to really, really, really get people to really prove themselves to you, or a way for you to test and screen if they would be right for your pageant or for your business, whether you're a business coach, whether you are a entrepreneur that deals with, maybe you sell services, perhaps you sell books, maybe you're trying to fill events, maybe you organize live events and trying to fill them. You could be a cake maker, for all I know. I don't know, but all I know is there are different ways for you to attract clients, and having some terms and conditions or policies or procedures or even some structures that would be great for your business could actually help everything to be wonderful. So let's dive right into these amazing steps, because I've got 15 ways that I attracted these 120 clients. I would call them contestants. And even though I attracted 120 contestants approximately, I also attracted a lot of their friends and family to come along to the events. I attracted people to come along and judge at the pageants to help out. You know, I was able to attract a big, big, big team of people to get involved in one way or another. So there was the staff side, but then there was also the general public, people coming along to watch the events. So I think we've had probably a little bit under 1,000 people that have come along to our events in the 3 years. And I organize other events too. So not just these events, I also have had over 1,000 people that have come along to some of my other events too, in all together, all of the events together. So let me now go through the 15 steps. Okay, so basically, number one, the first way that I attracted over 120 contestants in my pageant is I was clear on my ideal client. I knew that I wanted to have 14 to 17 year old girls or seniors aged 18 to 29. So I think being crystal clear on who do you want, what age, what, you know, who do they need to be? Like, we knew that we didn't want contestants that had done topless or nude. These wouldn't be right for our pageant. So we stated the what we wanted, and we also stated what we didn't want. We said, you're not right for this pageant if you're not from the UK or if you're not at least living in the UK. So if someone lived in Sweden or somebody lived in America, they wouldn't be right for the pageant, not because we don't want them to come to the pageant. Of course we do. We would love to have a Swedish person or an American, or we would love to have a Japanese contestant or something like that. But the reason why we couldn't have them in the pageant is because it's called a UK's Dazzling Beauty. It's a UK pageant. So it means that everybody that competes must be British, or at least have someone that they need to live in the UK, basically. So if somebody was applying, but they are, let's say they're from Venezuela, but they live in the UK, then that's okay. But if they live in Hong Kong and they want to apply to be in the UK pageant, we don't have a contract to promote events or organize events abroad anyway. So that would be against our actual company contract in the first place. So that's the reason why we wouldn't do that. And that's why you need to also get crystal clear on whether you're trading in your country, or, you know, what the different state rules. If you go and trade somewhere else, is there state rules there that could be an issue? So I definitely think that it's important for you to really think about your ideal client. Think about the things that you love and that you want in your ideal client, and think about the things that you don't want. One thing that Alex Beeden said, you know, she created this wonderful course called Feel Good Blogging. And she said that it's, you know, your dream client, you can make her as amazing as you want her to be. So if you want your dream client to be someone that is really friendly, appreciates you, is kind, is really good at celebrating you, she's the kind of girl that promotes you, she's the kind of girl that gives you great testimonials, she recommends other people to you, then write that down. I think it's important to have like a checklist of, let's say, you know, 12 things that you really want in your ideal client. So our ideal client, the age category did change in 2013. We went even younger. We had like younger girls in our pageant at some point. And then we increased it back up to 8 to 12 for juniors. And then we had 14 to 17 year olds. And then we increased the age to 18 to 35 rather than 18 to 29 so that we could have more women in the pageant, because a lot of women wanted to be in it. But also because of the fact that we felt that we wanted to decrease the age, because we kept having people apply as well that were slightly younger, that really seemed to be wanting to be in it, but they were just slightly too young. So anyway, moving on, like I said, do your target research in terms of your ideal client, and then let's move on to the next one. Number two, do your research on target market, your target market, in terms of, you know, you've really got to go out there and interview people. So what I did, basically, is I actually did lots of vox pops on the streets. So this means I went with a videographer and went onto the streets and interviewed people and asked for their, what do they think about UK's Dazzling Beauty? What do they think about what they will expect from this pageant? Because it was a new pageant. There was nothing to prove that it was going to be great. There was nothing to prove that it was going to take off and be a success. So I wanted to find out, what do you think? What does this pageant sound like to you? Is this something, what do we need to do to make it more appealing to the girls and women that would want to enter? So we had people that said things like, yeah, it sounds really good. It sounds like fabulous. It sounds fun. But, you know, pageants should also be about charity fundraising. Pageants should also be about, you know, more than just beauty. It should be about helping people, doing good work like Angelina Jolie and so on and so forth. So that was really good, because we wanted to test to see if people actually understood what UK's Dazzling Beauty was about and how could we make it more appropriate to our target market. And so that was really, really good. And also I basically had a team member at the time. Like I was in business with someone else at the time when I started the pageant. So she also gave me a lot of feedback. I gave her a lot of feedback on what we thought we could do. And we, you know, like I said, we used to interview people and get lots of feedback from lots of other people and everything, even down to the name. We didn't even choose the name. we had different ideas for the name. So we didn't just slap a name on the pageant, oh, you know, it's going to be anything. We actually took our time to try and allow the right name to come to us. So I'm now going to go on to step three, and this is what I did to attract over 120 clients, 120 contestants in my pageant. This is what I did as number three is, you know, this is now where I'm talking about the name. I actually chose a really outstanding name. But like I said, I didn't actually choose it, and neither did she. She suggested the name. I was going to call it UK's Precious Beauty Pageant or something like that. And she said, basically, she had an epiphany where she said, there's something not right with the name, and because we were going to go with it and we were going to register it. And then she was like, oh, we can't go with that name. And I was just like, oh, why? And she was like, it just doesn't stand out enough. Like, I was talking to my friend, and my friend was saying it should be something like striking, or it should be, you know, outstanding or something like that. And then she said dazzling. And so that's where the name came from. And then I was like, oh, but I really like the idea of them being precious. She said it sounds a bit soft and so on and so forth. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm not really sure what this name should be. I don't even think we should choose that. You know, we decided that we weren't going to choose. We're going to leave it to destiny to choose for us. So what we did was we put the name in a hat. And then I got my sister, we got my sister to pick the names. We have two names in the hat. And we said, whatever name comes out is going to be the name of the pageant. So at least we won't, if it doesn't go well, at least we know that it's not our fault. So basically the name came out in the hat, and it was UK's Dazzling Beauty. And so that was the name she suggested. And so we were like, that's the name, we're going to run with it. And that's what we did. And it turned out to be really, really good. So if it had been UK's Precious Beauty, then it would have just, I would have believed that it was just destiny. So it was destiny for it to be UK's Dazzling Beauty. And, woo, you know, that makes me feel really good. I get goosebumps hearing that story because it's really, like I said, I've had like so many people come along to our events and watch the event. People have been involved to help with videography, to help with taking pictures. I've had people help out on the day, like assistants. I've had VAs. I've had people to do PR, marketing. We've raised thousands of pounds for charity. We've been in the media. We've had over 50 press releases, which includes covers and spreads in newspapers and some magazines, and been on radio stations such as BBC London Radio and, you know, BBC London. I think we've been in the north part of BBC as well, one of the BBC radio shows in the north. Just to name a few of the successes that we've had, and just to think that it all started with not even knowing what we were going to call it. So it just goes to show that your dreams and aspirations are very valuable, and that you shouldn't just think, oh, this is nothing, this is not important. Always believe in your dreams, always believe in your goals, always believe that, you know, what you're doing is special and it can be something if you do work on it. Okay, so now we're on to number four, and I need to be really quick because look at the time. I'm only here for 30 minutes, so I'm going to really speed up with this. Number four, I attracted my contestants by effective planning, which included meetings, restructuring, asking for feedback. I consistently asked for feedback. Like, I asked for feedback through newsletters. I asked for feedback at every event I organise. I basically have a feedback form, and I ask, you know, what could we do to improve? One of the things that we do get often, people say, is that, you know, sometimes they say they want more girls. They might say, you know, like, for example, a bit more promotion or marketing. They might say that they want us to organise it slightly a bit more, or it could be something to do with the timings of things, because I think people in the audience are sitting down for hours, not really, you know, it's not always as fun for them as it is for those on stage, because most of them have work the next day and things like that, because sometimes we organize the events on Sundays, and even if they don't have work, you know, you've got to remember that sometimes we have guys in the audience, like a lot of boys, and they're just like thinking, oh, this is a really girly thing. But at the same time, they definitely do try to enjoy it and have fun and laugh and dance or whatever. So I definitely think that receiving the constructive criticism has really helped the pageant to move forwards. And I think that's something I would suggest to you, to really make sure you're taking feedback and you're really, really planning effectively. You know, you need to do a SWOT analysis, I would even recommend as well, to find out the strengths of your pageant. I mean, not even just your pageant, it could be your business. The strengths, the weaknesses, the threats, and the opportunities. It's really important to do that SWOT analysis and to consistently work to speak with people and ask them, you know, what can we do to improve? What ideas do you have? you can have people that can be your accountability buddies, or it could be you can have a mastermind partner, or even just friends that were willing to chip in with ideas and so on and so forth. I've had some really wonderful people that have given me ideas on how I can take things to the next level, and it's not always easy, but it's worth listening to people and, you know, maybe having a folder where you can put these ideas into the folder and keep stock of what people are saying, because you will eventually have money to be able to implement these ideas. So if you don't know what people are saying to you and you're not even bothering to pay attention, you may lose out on a very good idea that could actually make you millions or thousands and thousands of pounds. Number five, I created a vision board and a vision book. So I had a vision board, or I've always consistently had a vision board with different images of the things I want to attract. I would normally put like pictures of girls on it, like beauty queens and so on and so forth, to reflect that my pageant will have this. When we started the pageant, I didn't have any beauty queens in my pageant. We had no winners, no contestants, no anything. So we needed to actually create the vision by looking at images on Google, putting them onto the vision board, and actually trying to say, yes, this is the kind of girls we're going to have in our pageant. And also, one of the things I had to do as well is I had to visualize sponsors and people coming along to help out, judges, audiences, and everything as well. So I would have, like, for example, I would see a seminar on Google. I would put that, print that picture out, put it onto the vision board, and pretend that that was my pageant. I would find glamorous locations and put that on the vision board as well. Number six, I promoted my pageant through a promotional video for YouTube and for television, which brought in lots of contestants and people who bought tickets to watch the live shows. So I really definitely want to advise you to create a promotional video for your business. You know, a montage. Someone did this for us. I definitely want to give credit to Victor from Even Productions, and you can actually check out Even Productions. I think you can go to YouTube and type in Even Productions TV, or just type in Evon, E-V-O-N Productions, if you ever want someone to help you with making videos or cinematography. He creates short films and everything like that. That's just a shout out to Victor, because he's done such great work for us, so we definitely want to send business his way, definitely, because, you know, if you live in London and you need help, definitely look out for him. And basically, yeah, that video really did help, because he helped us to create a couple of videos that was really, really, really attractive. With new, you know, I created a song, we added it to the video and everything, and then he had all these images and lots of special effects and everything to make it look captivating to girls and women that wanted to enter the pageant. It really did wonders. Number seven, regularly promoting and featuring my contestants in our blog. So basically, I would blog consistently. I would create a profile for them with three images, and I would share their success stories with commission. I would promote them and let everybody know what they were up to in terms of the latest appearances, raising money for charity, you know, praising them publicly, and so on and so forth. So I definitely want to say that if you want to have more clients and more people in your business that you can work with, definitely, definitely, definitely praise your clients, shout about them, share their success stories, especially with permission, by the way. Like, make sure you are asking for permission, not just doing it without permission. Number eight, I gave lots of prizes. So our pageant is all about rewarding people and awarding people.